able to go to the Revelation of Love meetings. Can I see your hand? Doesn't it feel weird not to be coming throughout the week? Some of us, yes. Some of us is like, all right, we're done. You know, I'm so thankful that God has given us the Revelation of Love team and the Bible workers the great privilege of being here at this church. It truly has been a gift that the Lord has given this team. It's been such a blessing being here with this church, and we made some wonderful, powerful, lasting memories. Amen. And I'm so thankful for those that have decided to be baptized, those who have committed their lives to Jesus. This is going to be a special message for you. And for those that are walking or are on that Christian walk, this is just going to be a little bit of an encouragement to stay on that Christian walk. Today's message is entitled, Nothing Undone. Nothing Undone. Let's bow our heads before we enter the message. My Father, which is in heaven, I am so thankful. So thankful, Father, for what you have done here at this place, this church. Lord, the lives that have been touched through your word and through the pleading of the Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you so much for giving me the great privilege of being here. It's been one of our favorite times doing evangelism has been here in this church. So thankful, Father, for all the church members and the pastoral staff that was able to make this meeting a success, Lord. I'm so thankful for them. And now, Lord, as we are journeying on in our Christian walk, as some of us are learning how to walk, or some of us are already running in this Christian walk, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to finish it. That you help us not grow weary in well-doing. That you will help us remember the prize at the end. Bless us, Lord, now as we enter the message for the hour. We pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you have heard this story. Some of you haven't, and then the next story you're going to hear, it's probably going to be new to all of us. In 1972, a two-year-old Chinese boy, we're just going to say his name is Bob, fell from a table and went into a coma. When he woke up after 6 days, he was not able to talk or move. Like any parent, his mother was terribly distressed, but what made the situation worse was that she could not afford to put him in a place so he could receive help. So this mother did the unthinkable that only a mother's love would do. She decided to carry his burden. Knowing that he would be just in bed, he will just develop terrible bed sores, she decided that I will pick up my child and carry him all the days of his life. So for the past 30 years, his mother has done this. As of May 2002, the mother was 65 years old. She weighed 80 pounds. Her son now was a grown man. He weighed 180 pounds. On many occasions, the mother had fallen and fractured bones while carrying her son. Yet she continues to carry him today. When asked, "How in the world can you do it?" her simple reply was, "He ain't heavy. He's my son." On 1843, a baby was born by the name of Sam Houston Jr. He began service in the Confederacy in 1861. On April 7, 1863, at the famous Civil War battle at Shiloh, Sam Houston Jr. was struck in the back by a bullet. Listen closely. He was knocked to the ground and would have likely died had it not been for his mother's Bible, which he carried on his knapsack. Ripping through the pages, the lead ball stopped directly over the 70th Psalm, which reads, "You are my help and my deliverer." Sam Houston Jr. was literally saved by the Bible. The Bible he carried actually stopped a bullet. What are you saying? Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are men and women in the Bible who have had the same inspiration to recognize, no matter what is going on in my life, my Father can carry my burden. Their burdens weren't heavy enough for him to carry. Others have faithfully held on to God's promises when they've been attacked by the enemy of souls and have seen the salvation of the Lord. They did not let go of God's promises. One such character in the Bible has been a source of inspiration to me. His name was Joshua. Now, not much is said about the early years of Joshua's life. We know that he is from the tribe of Ephraim because he's the son of Nun. Now, Ephraim, who is Ephraim? Ephraim was the second child that was born to Joseph. Remember in Egypt, Joseph? Joseph named Ephraim because Ephraim means God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. He was later put into prison, though innocent. And yet in his affliction, in his turmoil, he was able to have a son, a second son, and he named him Ephraim because God has allowed him to be fruitful in a land of affliction. Yet when it was time for Joseph's father, listen closely, Jacob, you know, Joseph's father, Jacob, to bless his firstborn Manasseh, you know who he blessed? Ephraim, saying that the younger brother will be greater and stronger than the first. However, if you look at the history of the tribe of Ephraim, they are anything but amazing. When you look at the book of Hosea, you know the word Ephraim is used to describe the backslidingness of Israel. When Israel was backsliding, falling away from God, God entitled them as Ephraim. You know, Ephraim's greatness seemed to be summarized in the life of Joshua. Joshua's name literally means Jehovah is my salvation. This is where Joshua's greatness was exemplified, for throughout the course of his life of affliction, God blessed him greatly, for he sought Jehovah as his salvation. He recognized God as his father, one who could bear all his burdens. For those who have been newly baptized or have made decisions for the Lord, you have entered into a battle that none of us can win without daily recognizing our need for Jesus. So today, what burdens are you carrying? Jesus can take them from you. He can handle them. Now, there was a great battle that I want to describe to you this morning. It was an immense battle, one of the greatest battles Joshua ever fought. And in this battle, friends, I'm going to bring out some points that maybe we have never seen before, and it's going to be a source of encouragement for those who have decided to accept Christ into their life or those that are walking on that straight and narrow way. This was a great battle. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, it's the sixth book of the Old Testament. It's right after Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 9, as we continue on the topic, this wonderful topic, nothing undone. And when you're there, let me hear a hearty, happy Sabbath. Amen. Joshua chapter 9, we're looking at verse 1. When you're there, let me hear an amen. The Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan, in the hills and in the valley, and in all coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof. Now notice, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Verse 3, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work willingly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their donkeys and wine bottles, old and rent, and bound them up, old shoes and clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and what? Moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. So what is happening right here? The Gibeonites, some things are happening that is absolutely amazing. First, you have at least five tribes. How many tribes, everybody? Oh, I heard five people. How many tribes? Five tribes. And what are these five tribes doing? They're confederating with one another. They're uniting with one another, and they have one purpose. And what is that purpose? Take Joshua and the Israelites out. So during this time of confederacy, you have this other tribe, the Gibeonites, and what are they wanting to do? They want to join the Joshua and the Israelites. They have heard the God of Joshua. They have heard what Joshua did to Jericho, what he did at Ai. And instead of uniting with the other five tribes that are about to unite and try to strive to conquer the Israelites, what do? They try to join this small class of people. Now, I don't know if this was you, but if you had five great nations coming together to defeat the Israelites, far outnumbered all of them, more powerful, and you knew that you had an opportunity to join one or the other, who would you join? You'll probably join the more powerful, bigger army, yes? But there was something that the Gibeonites heard that Joshua and his men did. They wiped out one of the greatest strongholds of all of Canaan, Jericho. Conquered another tribe. And so they heard about all this news about their great God. So instead of, listen, joining hands with the world, they wanted to enter God's camp. Now listen closely. Listen closely. Did they do it justly? They were a bunch of actors. They came in, they saw all the Hollywood videos, and they said, maybe if we paint ourselves like they, we act like them, maybe they'll accept us. And sure enough, what did they do? They dressed up, they made them seem as if they were poor, they had nothing, they were about to die. They say we came from a distant land, although they were neighbors to the Israelites. Now check out what happens. Notice what the Bible says in verse 12. The Bible says, this is our bread. We took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it's moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. And behold, they be rent. And these are garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua did what? He made peace with them and made a league with them, let them live, and the princes of the congregation swore unto them. So notice, they acted out that they were poor, they were about to die. They said, no problem, come in, join forces with us. Did they do it righteously, friends? No, they didn't. They did it by deception. But you know what? Something that's so profound about this story? 3 days later, guess what Joshua finds out? Come on, speak to me. They're neighbors. They're journeying on and they come into the tribe of the Gibeonites, Gibeon, and they come to that tribe and they think, wait a minute, you guys are from this tribe? And they say, yes, we are. And they deceive Joshua and all his men. But listen closely, friends. This is going to be so powerful. The Gibeonites had pledged themselves to renounce idolatry, accepted the worship of Jehovah, and the preservation of their lives was not a violation of God's command to destroy the idolatrous Canaanites. The obligation to which one word is pledged, if it does not bind him to perform a wrong act, should be held sacred. So notice, did they become a burden to Joshua? No. Are you sure? No. Listen, they didn't do it honestly, and they will become a burden to them. But I wanted to let you know something powerfully. Here's Joshua. He accepted these people, and now burden is about to take place that they did not imagine. Let me ask you a question, friends. When you accept Christ into your life, is it an easy road to walk? Is it hard? It's hard, friends. But what you're about to find out is when you are walking on that road, it gets tough, it gets hard, but you're not walking it alone. Can you say amen? You see, in this world, friends, when we reject Christ, we are walking this road alone. And I like to say it this way, it is easier to live for God than to live for the world. Some of us are sleeping this morning. It is harder to live for the world than it is for God. Why? Because with God, you have someone that accepts you. You have someone that picks you up when you're down. But with the world, they mock and jest and laugh when you fall, when you fail. They make fun of you. With God, there's an everlasting help. Can you say amen? Some of us who have entered this battle, we didn't know what we got ourselves into. We thought it was going to be nice and rosy, smelling good. But I'm here to tell you, friends, that God is going to get you through the battles that you're dealing with today. Watch what happens. They accepted this tribe in, even though it was lies and all this. Notice what happens. In Joshua chapter 10, something profound happens. Joshua 10 verse 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass when Adonizek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and Erkin, so he had done to Ai and Erkin, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, listen closely, they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, this king of Jerusalem sent Hoam, king of Hebron, and unto Param, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japheth, king of Lachish, and unto Deber, king of Eglon, saying, come unto me, help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the 10 kings, all right, the 5 kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war. What? So what happened? Israel made a pact with the Gibeonites. They said, cool, we're cool, we'll be fine, we won't harm you. They took off. Then there was another king who heard about this, that the Gibeonites made a league with the Israelites, and so they said, we got to wipe these guys out. So the other five kings, along with all these other kings, joined hands, and they were going to go fight who? The Gibeonites. Now, I want to tell you something. When you accept Christ into your life, the devil tries to bring as many people as he can to make you not decide to keep following him. They make up scary stuff or strange stuff. So like you're following a cult or you're following a strange people. Don't do it. You're going the wrong way. Listen, I've done a lot of bad things in my life, and you heard a lot of them. Drug abuse and all. Into bad, you know, getting in trouble with the law, all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you right now, I never had so much persecution when I was doing all those bad things until I accepted Christ into my life. And all of a sudden, all my family becomes worried. Because I get more strict with my diet. I stop watching certain things. I stop listening to certain things. And all of a sudden, my family starts getting worried as if I'm about to die. But I was here running from the cops, doing all these things. And they're like, well, let's just pray for David. He's going through something. Finally, when their prayers are answered and I'm giving my life over to God, they're like, man, we need to pray even more. He's fanatical. What's going on with him? I remember my father one day walked into the room and I was reading The Great Controversy. That was the first book I ever read cover to cover. I could barely read in high school. I was terrible. Flunked so many classes. I could tell you stories, terrible stories. I was reading The Great Controversy. My father walks into the room. And he's like, hey, David, let's go play some basketball. I said, I can't. He's like, what do you mean you can't? You feel sick? I'm like, no, I'm reading this book here. He's like, what book are you reading? I'm like, The Great Controversy. It's phenomenal. He's like, all right, that's a pretty good book, but compared to basketball, what's wrong with you? I want to tell you something, friends. Many people in my family thought I was just going through a phase, you know, like some kind of fashion phase that, friends, it stuck with me for 10 years. But I want to tell you something. Those who have newly come into the faith, those who have accepted Christ into their life, you're going to get the most persecution from your own family for following God, for doing what is right. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's the Gibeonites, and the whole what seems to be the world is against them. You know, their friends. I lost so many friends. But let me ask you a question. Is a friend who tries to influence you to do bad? My friends, all they influenced me to do was to do drugs, get into fights, get in trouble with the law. Friends, I say I lost my friends, but I didn't even really lose any friends. They weren't friends in the first place. Somebody out there, let's say amen. Now listen, friends, it's going to seem like you're losing so much. It seems like the world is against you when you accept Christ into your life. But something happened that the Gibeonites learned that they never forgot. This is so profound. Are you guys ready? Oh, you guys are not ready today. Are you ready? What happened? The Gibeonites called who? Joshua. They were in a... All these nations were coming against them. Now, friends, they probably thought in their mind, Joshua's just going to let us die. I mean, we did them dirty. We came into this confederacy by deception. There's no way that they are going to try. They're going to accept this. They're going to say, good, we got them out of our hands. Let them perish. But Joshua did something. And listen, you've heard this story, but I'm about to bring something out you've probably never seen before. This blew me away when I read this. Notice the next, Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Notice what the Bible says. Profound. Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou what? Still upon Gibeon, and that moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood what? And the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down. About how long? A whole day. And there was no day like that before or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. I want to tell you something, friends. If you've accepted Christ into your life and you ever come to any straits or any problems in your life, when you call upon the name of the Lord, God is willing to even cause the sun to stand still to help you. Powerful. Let me tell you, friends, I experienced intense persecution. Did I tell you the story of when I first started canvassing and the dog that was demon-possessed? Have I shared with you that story? Come on, speak to me. Have I shared it? All right. Well, we'll see in a second. I started canvassing. My first time ever was in Arkansas. Yes? How many of you have been there? Whew. Happy to be here, huh? Just kidding. Beautiful place. Now, listen. I started canvassing in Arkansas, and I started seeing, a pattern. Every home had at least a couple dogs. Every home. I renamed the state Arkansas to Barkansas. There's just so many dogs. Well, listen very closely. I remember I was canvassing. And this is my first steps walking with the Lord, learning how to canvass. And I'm walking down this trailer park home. And I remember there was this little chihuahua. How many of you know what those are? All right, see, everyone knows. Now, are you scared of chihuahuas? Some of you said yes. Well, friends, they you don't got nothing to be scared of. You just hit them once and they learn their lesson. Well, listen, I was walking down the street, and this little chihuahua was bothering me. I was trying to save souls. Little chihuahua wasn't making it easy. Anyways, I ignored it. I didn't kick it. Praise the Lord. And I got to this one door, and a little girl answered the door. I said, hi, how you doing? She's like, oh, I'm doing good. And then all of a sudden, have you seen the four beasts in the book of Revelation? Well, friends, I saw those four beasts in that house. There was these dogs that were as big as her, and they were making their way towards me. And I looked at her and I said, listen, go get your mom. She was like, oh, my mom's sleeping. I'm like, wake her up. I have a surprise for you. And I closed the door just before the beast entered into my flesh. And so the little girl gets her mother. The mother comes out, barely awake. She comes up opening the door. She closes it because the beasts are about to come out. She closes the door and she looks at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm very stressed out. This chihuahua is not leaving me alone. The beasts are right there behind the door. And so I started sharing her the books that I had, and listen, guess what happened? The little girl was inside the home, and remember, the last thing she remembered I saying was, I have a surprise for her. So what did that little girl do? She opened up the four winds. And these beasts came out, and for the first time in a long time, I began to scream like a girl. And the dogs were trying to get me. I had my bag. I was swinging my canvassing bag at these beasts, and all of a sudden, one of the dogs got my leg. So here I am being tugged. I'm screaming, thinking I'm about to die. Finally, I was able to shake the dog off, and I took off running. The lady was able to hold the four winds back, and I made it. But I remember my pants were ripped. I'm walking down the street. This chihuahua was still following me. I was like, Lord, this is too hard. I can't do this. I've just accepted you into my life, and now I'm serving you. This is hard. And the next day, it got even harder. Now, Arkansas has a lot of country. And in this country, there's no street lights. So you know what I had to learn to do? I had carried rocks with my books. So when I would hear a dog, barking over there, I would just grab these rocks and I would throw it over there, hoping it would leave because I couldn't see them. It was dark outside. No street lights. How many of you would like to live that life? Well, you're about to wish you would. Because something happened to me that changed my life forever. I'm turning the corner. There was daylight, and I'm turning the corner, and I see a dog that I knew was going to take my life. It was coming around the corner. It was those big dogs that kind of go like this. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what it's called, but it was terrible. Filled with demons. It was coming towards me, and all of a sudden, as I'm turning the corner, I praise the Lord, there was a fence. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And there was a fence there, and the fence was between me and this demon-possessed dog, and the dog was trying to rip through the fence. It was going crazy, friends, when all of a sudden, this dog is looking at me. I'm looking at the dog. I'm talking to the Lord, saying, why is this dog so mean? When all of a sudden, this dog did something I would never forget for the rest of my life. This dog is foaming. It's trying to rip the fence, looking right at my eyes. When all of a sudden, those dog's eyes look straight above me. Just straight above me. And it stops barking. It then begins to shake. It's like trembling. The tail is between the legs. And all the while, it's looking right above me. And I'm looking at it like, hello, what's going on with you? And it's just trembling. The tail's between the legs. It's trembling. And it starts crying. Like someone's hitting it, and it starts to weep and cry, shaking, dog, the tails between the legs. All of a sudden, it turns around and just takes off running. So I'm like, that was terribly weird. So I began to walk, and the Lord sent me a text message. And the text is found in Psalms 34, where it says, the angels of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him to deliver them. Can you say amen? Now, friends, what the Lord taught me that day was I'm going to be with you at every facet and phase of your life. I'm not going to leave you alone. That's what it taught me right there, my brand new experience of serving God. God told me, David, no matter how dark the night may be, I'm always going to be there right by your side to protect you and to guide you. I've never forgotten that message. And here's the Gibeonites. They're asking Joshua for help. Joshua comes and he prays the Lord. Lord, can you please make that sun to just stop? We need to finish this job. Now, there's something there that I don't want you to miss. Maybe you've never seen before, but it startled me when I saw it. The Bible says in verse 14, and there was what? No day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Did you catch it? The Bible says there was never a day like that before or after where God listened to a man. Now, if that doesn't shake you up a bit, I don't know what else would. The Bible just said God never listened to a man before like he did to Joshua that day. Now, the logical question is, why? Why? Why has there never been a day like that day? Why? Well, friends, it has to do with Joshua. The Bible says in the next chapter, look there, Joshua chapter 11. This is so powerful. Verse 15. The Bible says in Joshua 11, verse 15, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. Listen, he left what? Nothing what? Undone of what? Of all that what? The Lord commanded Moses. Amazing. There was never a day like this day because there was never a man like that man. Joshua listened and did everything that God ever asked Moses to do. Moses was the meekest man on earth, but he failed. He struck the rock. Joshua, everything that God asked Moses to do, he did. I want to say something that I think God inspired me with as I was putting this sermon down that I pray everyone, no one here will forget. When we leave nothing undone in the cause of God, that is when there is nothing that God cannot do for us. You know, when you look at the life of Joshua, I'm just going to read you some things. Joshua 8, verse 35, it says, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read, not before all the congregation of Israel. The Bible says in Joshua 24, verse 31, and Israel served the Lord. Listen to this. All the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. Friends, this has never happened. In the time of Joshua, all of the people stayed on the right track. The whole time, even after Joshua died, they continued. This has never happened before. Why? Because there was never a man like Joshua. Who everything God told him to do, he did. Didn't ask questions. Do you remember the story of the golden calf? Oh, come on, speak to me. Remember that story? What happened? The children of Israel, what did they make? What did they make? A golden calf. To do what? To worship it. Where was Joshua during Israel's rebellion? What were they doing? What was he doing? He was on the mount. Friends, he was on the mount, and down yonder where his family and friends were, his people were, they were rebelling against God, partying hard. I want to tell you something profound about Joshua. Even the music and entertainment of his people, of the world, did not cause him to come down from the mount with God. I want to tell you, those who have just accepted Christ into their life, the world is about to get louder. The world, the family, your friends are about to try to get your attention. Come back to the world. Come back to serving us. Come back. It's so much fun. Let me share with you something. Those who have newly come to the faith, I want to share with you one thing. When I was in the world, I was always bored. Nobody could testify with me. Yes? When I was in the world, I always was bored. That's why I got into so much trouble. But when I accepted Christ into my life, there has not been one day where I ever said, I'm bored. Never. It's exciting serving God. Amazing. Here you have Joshua. Well, his people are partying hard, not moving him. Remember the 12 spies? Forget that. Remember when Joshua and Moses came down from the mount? And Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? What? Come over here. Who was already on the Lord's side? Joshua. The 12 spies. What happened with the 12 spies? 10 of the spies gave what kind of report? Good or bad? Bad report. What did Joshua do? He gave a good report. He said, rebel not against the Lord. He said, if the Lord be with us, they will be like bread to us. Friends, while everyone around them was rebelling, Joshua stood strong. Can you say amen out there? I like to say it this way. Joshua, the son of Nun, left nothing undone. Now, as we come to a close, what was the secret of Joshua's faithfulness? In the midst of his own family and friends rebelling, his people going off in the deep end, what made Joshua stand faithful? Turn to your Bibles. This is so profound. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And when you're there, let me hear a hearty, happy, awake, amen. Exodus chapter 33. What caused Joshua to be so faithful? Exodus, we're looking at chapter 33. We're looking at verse 11. When you're there, let me hear a hearty, happy, awake, amen. Exodus 33, 11. Notice what the Bible says. So powerful. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, how? Face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But notice, but his servant who? Listen, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Ah, oh, you're sleeping. Did you just catch that? Joshua never departed from what? The sanctuary, the tabernacle. Why? He learned a lesson that David taught. In Psalms 84, verse 10, David said, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Joshua was living that out. I'd rather live with God than the pleasures of all my people. I'd rather spend time with God, live with God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be faithful to God, if you want to stay on that straight and narrow way, this is how. Don't allow anything to disconnect you from God. Boss wants you to work on Sabbath. I'm sorry. I'm worshiping the Lord of the Sabbath on that day. Sorry, I can't watch those movies, that music. I can't listen to anymore because God is not glorified in it. I can't do it. Don't allow anything to disconnect you from the Lord. Friends, it's going to be tough. But the same God who made the sun stand still, is the same God that could get you out of your trials, your troubles. He still lives today, friends. What are you saying? Now, friends, this is the secret of growing spiritually, is making sure that you don't allow anything to disconnect you from God. The Bible says there was no day like that day before or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. Why? Because God, Joshua, had Jesus as his salvation. He left nothing undone in the cause of God. He will not allow anything to separate him from serving God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is so powerful as we close. God is going to do something that has never been done before in the history of this world. He is going to have a people in one generation, in the weakest, sinful, most sinful generation, to finish this work. They're going to be reflecting his character, put an end to all the sin and woe. These people are going to be like Joshua, who leave nothing undone. Who are these people? Who are these people? Who is it, friends? By God's grace, it's going to be us. Can you say amen? The Bible describes them. Turn as we close to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, there's going to be a class of people in one generation. They're going to finish the work. That like Joshua are going to be serious with their walk up with God. They're not going to allow anything to come between them and their Lord. They're going to finish the work. Never like it's been in any time in earth's history. God's going to have a people who are going to make this world come to an end. The Bible says in Revelation 14 verse 1. And look, and I looked and lo, a lion. Very good. A what? A lamb stood on Mount Zion. And with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping their harps. And they sung as it were a what kind of song? A new song. Before the throne and before the beast and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144 what? 1,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now listen to verse 4 and 5. These are they which were not defiled with women. They are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In their mouth was found what? No guile, the Bible says, for they are without fault before the throne of God. There's two things that Joshua did that these people do. Number one, Joshua made sure that nothing separated what? Him from who? From God. He stayed where? In the tabernacle, the 144,000, friends, the Bible says, they follow the Lamb where? Wherever he goes. Friends, if you cannot take Jesus to where you're wanting to go or what you're doing, it's better not to do it. The 144,000 follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Number two, where was Joshua always? In the tabernacle. Where's the 144,000? The Bible says in verse 5, in their mouth was found what? No guile, for they are without fault before the throne of. Friends, they know where God's at. They're confessing their sins. They're giving them over to the Lord. And I want to share with you something, friends. When you are doing those two things, when you're spending time in God's presence, giving up your sins to Him, when you're making sure that all your transactions of life do not conflict with God's word, friends, I want to tell you, you are going to be like Joshua, and God will do amazing things through you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to do something like He's never done before. Like Joshua, who caused Jericho to fall while calling Rahab out, so will the 144,000 speak that Babylon has fallen and will call God's people out. Like Joshua, who told all the false worshipers to choose God or serve the false gods at the expense of their life while he and his house would serve the Lord, the 144,000 will speak with a loud voice that they will worship the Lamb and warn those who worship those false gods. Like Joshua, who made it to the promised land. Oh, friends, we too can make it there and be a generation that finishes the work and does something that has never been done before. Like Joshua today, God is calling us to leave nothing undone. My dear friends, serve God faithfully. Be connected with Him. Purpose in your heart, friends, that you're going to follow the Savior whithersoever your whatever your lot may be. That you will go wherever He goes, you're going to follow. Is that your desire today? Say, Lord, I will follow Thee. You did shed Your blood for me. And though all men should forsake me, forsake Thee, by Thy grace, I'll follow Thee.
Thou didst shed Thy blood for me. Where Thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow Thee.
I will follow Thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed Thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake Thee, by Thy grace, I'll follow Thee. Though I meet with tribulations, sorely tempted though I be, I remember Thou wast tempted and rejoice to follow Thee. I will follow Thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed Thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake Thee, by Thy grace I'll follow Thee.
It was a wet and miserable morning in Ohio. Ray was making breakfast when he looked out the window onto the open stormwater drain that ran alongside his house. What he saw terrified him. A small little girl was being swept down the drain. He also knew that further downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath the road. Ray ran out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the little girl. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. He surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled end over end within about 1 meter of the drain going under the road. Ray's free hand felt something protruding from the bank. He grabbed a hold and held on for dear life. He said, if I could just hang on until help comes. But he did better than that. By the time the fire department rescuers arrived, Ray had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. And on April 12, 1989, Ray was awarded the U.S. Coast Guard's Silver Lifesaving Medal. The award is fitting because Ray was even at greater risk to himself than most people knew. Ray couldn't swim. Friends, who are you today? Are you the drowning girl who feels like your sins are drowning you from the Lord? Or are you the man who feels like you don't have any talents or gifts to save anyone? Whichever person you feel like you are tonight, this morning, you could be like Joshua. Whether you're drowning in your sins or you feel incapable of winning souls for the Lord, remember that your Father can help you. Just go to Him. He is in the sanctuary above. How many here want to tell the Lord, Lord, help me not to get distracted by the things of this world? While the world is parting away their life, Help me to be like Joshua, who stays on the Lord's side. How many of you want to leave nothing undone while working for the Lord so that the Lord could use you like never before? Friends, if that is you, if you want to say, Lord, though the rolling billows are flowing, cold and deep you lead me. Father, you have crossed the waves before me, and I will still follow thee. Friends, if that's you today, I want to invite you to stand as they sing this closing stanza.
Rolling billows, cold and deep, thou leadest me. Thou hast crossed the waves before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me, and though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee.
My Father, we came to your sanctuary today not to hear David Machado. We came here, Father, today to hear your voice. Like Joshua, Lord, even when Moses was not in the tabernacle, he remained there because worshiping you is not dependent on a man. It's dependent on what Jesus has done for us. So, Father, this morning I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will remain faithful. Will not allow the loud noises that this world makes and the persecution that this world brings not to lead them away from you, Father. May they cry out to you the more. May they feel and sense the power that Joshua felt that day when the sun stood still. When the world came to a crashing halt at the sound of a man's mouth, may we experience the same power today. That when the world starts banging on the doors of our hearts, when our friends who have led us into sin come back and try to persuade us to not accept the Lord, I pray, Lord, that you may still their voices, that you may calm the waters that are trying to drown us back. And you may do something that you've never done before. That you would use us weak, sinful beings to put an end to all this chaos. To put an end to all this sin. Help us this morning to be like Joshua, who become a people who leave nothing undone. Use us today and forevermore. May we see you come in the clouds of glory in our generation. Because today we got serious. Because today we decided, like Joshua, to leave nothing undone. May you help us, dear Lord. Do something that's never been done before. For I ask this prayer in the sweet name of Jesus. Remain standing as we sing our closing hymn, 573, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go.
Let's pray together. Father, that is our commitment today, that we will go where you want us to go, that we will say what you want us to say, that we will be who you want us to be, God. Father, we want to commit our hearts, our minds, in loving service to the King of Kings today. Father, may you go with each person here. May you walk with them, and may they walk with you, Lord. We love you, Father, and our prayer is, come, Lord Jesus, come. We cannot wait to see you in those clouds of heaven, and we commit to being ready for your soon coming. We love you and pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.